and you have tuned into the KRFY Morning Show. No, it's not March 16th of 2016. It's March 16th of 2017. Excuse me. Well, we're off to a real smooth start. I'm Lonesome Jack. With no co-host in the studio, mistakes are bound to happen, but we have a fine show for you today. Tim Martin is here, local author of the new book, On Death and Flying. That's the title of the book, On Death and Flying. And the author is Tim Martin. Before we talk to Tim, let's talk a little bit about the weather forecast for the weekend and what's coming up. We have, from the National Weather Service, a flood warning in effect today. We have from now until 9:30 p.m. tonight, there is a chance of flooding in this area. So watch out, 30% chance of showers, then partly sunny. Flooding would be, if there is flooding, it will be caused by ice backups on the local waterways. So look out, it could happen if you live near the water, and so many of us do. A 30% chance of showers before noon today, with partly sunny and a high near 46 later on. Southwest wind around 8 miles an hour, just a tenth of an inch of precipitation today. Tonight, patchy fog after midnight, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 27 degrees tonight. Southwest wind 5 to 8 miles an hour, but becoming calm as the evening progresses. Tomorrow it looks like a 20% chance of rain, mainly afternoon, foggy before noon, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 43 degrees. Northeast wind of 3 to 8 miles an hour tomorrow, and a rainy Friday night tomorrow night. Low around 37 degrees, north wind around 7 miles an hour, becoming southeast after midnight. A 100% chance of precipitation is forecast for Friday night, and then a rainy Saturday as well. High near 49 degrees on Saturday. On Saturday night, a chance of rain showers mainly before midnight, and then a slight chance of snow showers after Saturday night, moving into Sunday morning. Slight chance of snow showers before noon, and then turning into rain as Sunday progresses. Now we've pretty much covered the whole weekend and all the whole forecast that you can expect to be reliable anyway. This provided to you by the National Weather Service. So highs around, or lows around 30 at night, 27, 30, up to 37 on Friday, and highs in the 40s for the next few days. In this kind of rainy springtime weather is continuing, with a possible snowstorm or snow shower on Sunday. That's the weather. That's what's coming up. That's what we have to look forward to here in North Idaho. Moving on, I have no very elegant segue to move on to our main topic of conversation today, but Tim Martin is here. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm great. I'm caffeinated, and it's nice to see you. Have you been to KRFY before?
I have.
Oh, I knew it.
Yes.
You're a familiar voice.
Yeah, I have seen your face before, and this year we're kind of part of the KRFY family. We've been working on a new show called Book Starts, which we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah.
But we've really enjoyed being part of what's going on here at KRFY.
And today you're here to talk about a personal project that is not radio related. We're talking about On Death and Flying, which is a novel that you wrote and just came out very recently. Just within the last month, couple weeks?
Well, I first published it as an electronic book just before Thanksgiving. And I've now followed up with hard copy just about a month ago.
Is this your first book?
It is my first book. I've been a writer forever. I guess I won't divulge my age yet. It'll come out in the process of the show probably. But I've been a writer of catalog copy and advertising and public relations and speeches for CEOs and lots of kind of applied writing, you might say. But this is my first venture into a novel for sure.
Well, I confess that I haven't finished it yet, but I have started it, and I am it doesn't read like a first book. I mean, it doesn't, you know, you can tell that the author is not not the first time you've had a pen in your hand or a typewriter or whatever you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's I've probably been writing this book for the better part of 40 years if I thought about it very hard. I've had an awful lot of notebooks and scraps of paper and envelopes and bar napkins stuffed in drawers through the years with ideas on them, and finally got a chance to put it all together.
Huh. So let's talk about that process a little bit. So that you've been sort of writing fiction and writing notes for 40 years, but never published. And you finally, what made you decide to, now's the time to kind of wrangle it all together, strap it together and put it in a book?
I think I had inspiration here in Sandpoint through some friends who have what I feel to be just really giant hearts, and they're very engaged in helping people and animals, and they just seem to make time to do the right thing. And as I got to know them, they've adopted some children who have had very rough starts in life. And we had a lot of discussions about that, late night discussions and those kinds of things around campfires, where I just had to do this. I had to write about that feeling I think we all get to at some point or many times during your life, where you feel like you want to make a difference and you want to make sure that you mattered. And I think as a person gets older, they start to think about that a lot more, and they think, well, you know, I'm probably a lot closer to the end than I am the beginning. And what have I done? And why do I think that other people may be doing very worthwhile things while I've just kind of been hiding out? And what can I do about that?
Huh. The character in this book kind of has that, right on the very first page, has a similar revelation and decides not to write a book, but to, I guess it's on the first page, so it's not a spoiler if I say that his decision is to, to commit murder, I guess. An interesting choice for the hero of a book to, or at least the protagonist of a book to be making on page one. But so far it works, at least as far as I am into the book. He's still the guy you're rooting for. You've kind of made it this. You've chosen a bad act for this person to do, and now you're saying what would make that act justifiable, I guess, is what's going on, at least in the part of the book that I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it takes place right here in Sandpoint by name, in fact.
Yes.
With a few local landmarks identifiable, and Baldy Mountain is mentioned, and so it's fictional, but you didn't pull that out of your head. That's here. We're here.
that's right. And you have to write about what you know. I mean, you can make stories up, but you have to have some basis in what you know. And I moved to Sandpoint about 15 years ago from the Midwest, and have found this to be an extraordinary place, in that it's very eclectic in its interests. It has a public radio station like this one, and people are engaged in that. And the art scene here is very dynamic and filled with people that have a lot of talent. And there's a lot of writers here, and the musicians here are just, it's a wealthy place in terms of all of that. And it's a very live and let live kind of place. So it's a mixture, and I drew upon that as what I think is a very interesting place and a very interesting town full of characters that, I mean, there's a lot of characters around Sandpoint. We all know who a lot of them are. So it was a rich environment and world to begin with. I didn't have to invent that part of it.
Yeah. So that's where the novel begins. Do you want to Do you want to do a nice summary for the listeners if anyone's interested in maybe picking this up for a read?
Sure. The book on the surface is a suspense-filled kind of thriller page-turner. I'm getting a lot of comments from people who have read the book about, I didn't intend to spend 2 days reading this book, but I did. So once people get into it, I'm really happy to say they're engaged and they get it. And it draws people in. The premise of the book, though, is somewhat deeper. I don't want to beat the drum like I'm some great philosopher, but I think everybody at some point does say, I really want to make a difference. I really want to do the right thing. And then you also start to think about being content in life. What does that mean? If you set out to be happy, you're probably going to fail because you're not set up for happiness. Life is not happiness. Life is being content with the experience. So if you're on a plane to say, I always have to be happy, it's probably not going to happen. But what can you do through your life that makes you feel content that you've at least done the most you could do, you've experienced it? We all can't be world leaders. We all can't be celebrities. We all have to do our part in life and be content that we've done what we want to do. And then toward the end, you start thinking about, and what's next? Is this it? And if this is it, I better get busy here. I better get with it.
Yeah. And that is what seems to happen to this main character. He has, I don't know if you'd call it a midlife crisis or a late-ish life crisis. Just sort of, I guess it is. It's what you'd call a midlife crisis. It's when you realize the end is closer than the beginning, and well, you know, what's still on that list that I haven't crossed off. But the book starts here in Sandpoint, but if I'm reading the back correctly, it takes off. He's not around here for long, or he's not around here for the whole book.
Well, I don't want to be too much of a spoiler, but he decides he's got to do something good. And it's got to be big and it's got to be dramatic because he lives out in the woods. He lives remotely. And there's just not that much opportunity strolling down the road at him for doing something very good. So he recognizes and he's exposed to an injustice that's going on very close to where he lives. And he's kind of formed this safe little world out in the woods in which he lives. And he's kind of escaped here because he started life thinking he could do anything, as we all sort of do. He literally had the feelings that he could accomplish anything. And then life started to erode that. And he has regrets about things he's done. And maybe bigger for all of us is we have regrets of things that we didn't do, those opportunities missed. So when this opportunity comes down the road, even though it is a dramatically awful kind of decision to make, which goes against everything he's ever believed morally and what's wrong and right, he decides that this injustice can't stand. He cannot live, and he can't not do something about this. So what he does is he makes a big decision to deal with it and then finds that by having the courage to do that, he embarks on this journey where all of a sudden things are possible because he's stepped up. Huh.
Well, interesting. The book, again, is called On Death and Flying. Any significance in that title? Or I guess on Death... I understand. And flying has not come into the book for me yet. Where do we find that?
Well, the flying is actual and metaphorical. You won't be sure. The flying is obviously mentioned, and there's a lot of the book that I'll talk to people later and they'll say, I realized a week later that this had happened. I was thinking about it afterward and I realized that he did this or he did that or somebody wasn't actually there. So the flying is not only a physical ability, and there's magic engaged in the story early on and spins out and becomes a bigger part of it. But the flying part may or may not be just his ability to get done what he wants to get done.
Huh. Your name on the cover, just Tim Martin, didn't go with Timothy. You're just a very approachable Tim Martin right on the cover there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's practical considerations about space and all of that too, but I don't know. I've never gone by my entire given name, and I've realized that there's probably a million Tim Martins on earth. So I almost wish I would have gone with a nom de plume, but that's me, and I'm not trying to be something that I haven't been, and that's kind of a central tenet to the book too, is knowing who you are and being true to that. And a lot of people, as life goes by, tend to kind of fold in, and they don't experience life, and they're more about a level experience versus highs and lows, and that's where this character begins. He's sort of insulated himself, and he's living out in the woods where he doesn't set himself up for failure, but he doesn't set himself up for any of the highs either. He's just trying to exist without having any disappointment in his life, which doesn't work.
Yeah. I heard something, a theory, I guess, recently that the experience that people seem to have of life going faster and faster as the years go by is related to the fact that what your memory holds on to are new experiences, not repeated experiences. So the early years where you're having many new experiences seem to, in your memory, last much longer than the later years, where if 2017 is just like 2016, they just kind of flow together and it all seems to go by very fast. If you want your life to seem longer, do different things. Try new things.
Yeah,
is, I guess, the moral.
I think there's some truth to that. I think there's something as well about if you have had experience, and you have to, there's something about time speeding up because you are a little bit jaded. You know, you wish that you could be as amazed as you were when you were 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had my granddaughters here from Georgia a month ago. They don't have snow in Georgia. They were amazed every morning. They got up, they didn't even take off their nightgowns. They were out on the deck in the snow. It snowed every day, and they were amazed. And that time was, you know, that chunk of time for them, I'm sure was like a big chunk of time. I look outside, yeah, it's snowing again. I got to start the snowblower, and it mashes together. But those peaks of amazement and wonder that a little child who's experiencing snow for the very first time, I think you're right. I think that's a significant event. It's just another day for me.
I want to ask you more about your actual writing process. You took a lot of, you kind of were writing it over 40 years, but then the actual, when you sat down and said, I am writing the book now, I'd like to know more about that. But before we do that, I'm going to take a little musical break because it's 20 after, and you are listening to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Lonesome Jack, all by myself up here in the studio. No co-host, but I do have a guest in Tim Martin. He's the author of On Death and Flying, which is now available where, Tim? Where
can we grab this? Well, right here in town. It's at Vanderford's in hard copy. It's also on Amazon in Kindle version, electronic version, as well as hard copy.
I'm not going to play I know what I'm going to play. I'm going to play a song by John Lennon, because it was 45 years ago today that John Lennon was, he was asked to leave the United States 45 years ago. He lodged an appeal with the U.S. Immigration Office in New York City on this date in 1972 after he was served with deportation orders arising from his 1968 possession conviction for cannabis. That's what happened today in 1972. Let's have a little Give Peace a Chance, shall we? Here's John Lennon on The Morning Show. We'll be back with Tim Martin after this.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That is John Lennon with, well, there's a long list of people also on that recording, but recorded with Yoko, performed with Yoko Ono, written by John Lennon, although credited to Lennon McCartney because he was still with the Beatles when he wrote it, performed by the Plastic Ono Band, and written during the Bed-In honeymoon in Montreal, Quebec. That's the song, and it was 45 years ago today in 1972 that Lennon was arrested and protested his deportation order that came down in New York City. We're here with Tim Martin, the author of On Death and Flying. You are listening to The Morning Show on KRFY. I am Lonesome Jack, and we're talking about it's his first book that he spent on and off. Sounds like a good chunk of his life writing it, or writing bits and pieces of it, thinking about it. But you finally sat down and said, I'm going to write the book now. What was that process like? What was the actual, that final, I don't know what you said, the final approach? When did that start? And where did you do your writing?
It was almost 3 years ago when I sat down, and I didn't have any magic light pop on that said, okay, I'm going to start writing this book. I just sat down one day and started doing it. And my partner, Danya, came in about 2 weeks later and said, besides the work that you do to make a living, what is it you're doing in this office all day? And I said, well, I'm writing a book. And I didn't announce it. It just started happening. And about, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, I was ready to show three quarters of what I felt the book was going to be to her and another friend who was staying with us, which was kind of the point of no return, where I walked across the line that said, well, I guess it's going to be a book, and I'm willing to put this all out in the broad sunlight. And it's, I've been a writer long enough to not take things personally, but I've always been writing for somebody who's paying me to write. That's how I was making my living for a very long time. But this was my deal. So to lay that out there is always, you know, what are they going to say? And you also are putting them in an interesting situation and position, because if it's not good, you've said here, and they don't want to crush you, and they don't want, but they also, you know, Danya doesn't want to say, yeah, you should do this for a living, when she's like, don't quit your day job, guy. So that was an interesting process. I don't have trouble writing a lot. I never have. I never have sat down and looked at the wall and said, what am I going to do? It's a magic thing. It's just, stuff comes to me. The bad part about that is, and she is my partner in life and in business, so she turned into my editor. An average novel is something between 60,000 and maybe 90 to 100,000 words. A long novel is 100,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
When I decided I was done, it was 250,000 words. So mm-hmm. then it was slash and edit time.
Yeah.
And bless her, she is the kind of person who was not trying to save me or be too nice to me, but rather said, this whole section's got to go. It doesn't belong here. So now we're killing my babies. And that process was arduous and strenuous. But I find I knew where I wanted to start and I knew where I wanted to end, and everything in between was subject to how I felt about that day and some of the things that I had thought about that had happened through my life. A lot of this book is true. A lot of it, as you read it, will find, well, obviously that's not true because people can't really do that. But there's a lot of truth and a lot of experience that I have had that got wound into the story in one way or the other.
Where did you do the actual the work? You got in an office somewhere? Back at the ranch?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have an office in my house because I'm a consultant, a business consultant, and a business coach for my day job, which I still do pretty much every day. So I have a nice office there with a great view. I wrote a lot of this book on our screened-in porch, looking down across the river toward Dover. So I did spend a lot of time outdoors virtually with my laptop writing this. I do like to just write in my office. I got a nice view from there. I like to cut and paste and move. The research part of a book to me is very inspiring, and the internet is a dream for writing. I decided I wanted this character to go on a journey, both mentally and spiritually and physically. So I decided what that route would be on the roads, the physical roads. And now I can get on Google Earth and say he's going to be outside of Camp Crook, South Dakota. What's there?
Huh.
And I look up Camp Crook, South Dakota, and I can see the crossroad. I can see it. There's a photo. There's video. I know what's there. And then I can say, what could happen there? There's a little bar. There's an old fort. There's a river. There's a river called the Dismal River that runs through Nebraska. What a great name. There's got to be something great that can happen in the Dismal River Valley. So that's where a lot of it comes from as well, is being able, you know, if it were 30 years ago, I would have had to have gotten in a car and driven that route. How long would that take? And how much could I record of it? Sitting in my office, I can be there and I can start writing and hopefully hold myself back from writing another 100,000 words about that little section of the country.
Do you write in the morning, in the evening, all the time?
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me. If it's getting later in the day and I get fatigued, you can't force it. And I could always tell when we were going through the editing process, and my partner Danya was such a huge part of making all this happen. She'd say, I can tell that you're trying to force this part of the story. It's not just coming out. It's you were tired or you were trying to make something happen there. And anytime she would say that, I'd say, yeah, I'm busted. Mm-hmm. I was. I was trying to link two things that maybe shouldn't have been linked, or they weren't advancing this story. But it sounds, I don't know, it has kind of a weird ring to it. But this stuff, I don't know where it comes from. You're really channeling something. It's, I don't know where that, where it's coming from. You know, the muse and all those things you hear about. It has to be focused into a line that makes sense to people. But where that's coming from, if you're trying to force it through the pipe, it doesn't read as well. And it will be stilted and it will be contrived versus just kind of an organic feel of how the story flows.
Well, you're lucky to be able to just write that it just comes to you all by yourself. You don't have to force it or go through some sort of ritual to I don't know, to kick it off. I think a lot of writers have a hard time getting started, especially or finding just the, you got to have everything just so and all distractions cleared away, and it only comes to you if the, you know, if the moon is full. And but it's, what a blessing to not have to worry too much about that. Yeah. It just, I guess probably because you've been doing it professionally for so long, you've just learned how to do it. You've exercised that muscle enough.
I think that's part of it. And I mean, I have my times when I just go, you know, I'm not gonna make this happen today. If something's going wrong, or I'm stressed out about a client, or there's something going on. But when they talk about, they being the writing community, talks about write all the time. I believe that. And even if you throw it away, you may come back to it later. But you do have to, if you sit and wait for inspiration to come through the window at you, you're going to sit and wait probably.
Yeah.
I have found that I can begin and I know essentially where I want to go. And I may wiggle around for a while, but there'll be some core of activity during that day that just is right. As long as I'm not trying to really make it happen hard. And yeah. I've got a little cot in my office that belonged to my triple great grandfather and was brought out to Iowa from the East Coast in a covered wagon. And I brought it out here and I put a new little foam pad on it. And I've had some of my best ideas where I'm just kind of looking at my computer and I just look at the cot, go lay down on it and fly away and get a great idea. Then get up and capture it because, you know, those 2 a.m. deals where you furiously think you have a great idea and you think you'll remember it when you wake up and you don't. It does disappear. It evaporates. I have to capture things as they happen and come to me.
Yeah. Well, we should, the hour's just slipping away. We should get to it. If you want to read an excerpt, I'm sure we would appreciate it.
All right.
What else was I going to say? The book is called On Death and Flying. Tim Martin is the author. He's here live in the studio at KRFY, where I am hosting your morning show. It's Thursday, March 16th, and this is the KRFY Morning Show every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right here on your community radio station. What have you prepared for us there, Tim?
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of the setup for this one. The protagonist of the story has decided he has to do one really dramatically good thing to make up for a life of indecision and doubt and regret. So he's struggling because the opportunity presented to him is to right a terrible wrong that's going on not very far from where he lives. So he's struggling with his decision. It's a real moral question for him as to what he should do. And he spends time splitting wood, and that's kind of his thinking time and process. So he's been splitting wood, and he's imagining that he's flying across a timeline of his life and reviewing what he's done. So it's like one of those picture timelines that you had when you studied history in school in second grade, and only he's kind of up above everything, and he's flying along looking at this as he's splitting wood. And then he also listens to music in his head quite a bit, as I think we all do. Or we get music stuck in our head and through a day. But he seems to get some meaning from the music as it comes to him. So it goes like this. And then, flying along through my personal timeline, I got it. My life had been vastly different from my father's and his father's and his father's and probably all my farming ancestors all the way back to the knuckle-dragging days in Mesopotamia or somewhere. So if our lives were so different, why would any of us think that our deaths might be all the same? Maybe we chose our post-death just the way we chose how we lived our lives. Why not? It's just as good a doctrine as thinking anybody who doesn't believe the way you do is going to burn for all eternity in some fiery pit. That was all getting too heavy. Tom Petty's wonderfully mundane nasal voice came burning through over the big low-end coil of the electric guitar with the acoustic guitar strums on top like whipped cream. Yeah, running down a dream. I looked down at myself standing by the woodpile and chose my post-death to be flying through the clouds with my cape streaming out straight behind me until the next better thing came along. So he's thinking hard about what his life is, what he wants it to be, and wow, what's going to happen when that's all over.
It's a well-written book, and what I've read so far, I've enjoyed. Well, I'm from here, or not? I didn't grow up here, but I live here now. I've become very familiar with the place, and talking about birthday parties around a bonfire and going down to the fictional pub is Skip's Pub, but I can imagine maybe one or two places around here that it might be a stand-in for. It captures a certain kind of life anyway, that is not, it's just fun. It's fun to step into this character's shoes for a minute. And, obviously not all peaches and cream or whatever, but it makes for an enjoyable way to get into the book and read the book. The characters are fairly engaging, and each of them is unique and and I look forward to what happens next when he gets out on the road. And I say all that saying that I'm familiar with it, but I imagine for a reader who's not from around here, not familiar with it, could be very, very fun to step into this character's shoes. Totally different for, somebody living in the suburbs of Minneapolis. What's this life like out here? Do these people really live like this? How much of it is totally fictional magic and how much of it is based on reality?
Yeah.
That's my brief summary. I'm going to take this book with me. I'm going on vacation next week. And perhaps what I'll do is I'll leave it in the... I'll leave it where I go. We'll leave it there, and it'll be right in front for somebody to come when they're heading down to the beach and they forgot their own book. They can pick up on Death and Flying and maybe take a little trip.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to Mexico.
Oh, nice.
I'm mooching off the parents. They have they're taking me down there. It's going to be nice. It's going to be better than the forecast, as far as I can tell, from what we see.
Super.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. I've got books in Japan and Canada and Mexico and Australia and England so far. So it's showing up all over the globe. This is cool. I love this.
Yeah. We're so short on time. I wanted to ask about I don't know what happened. What happened next? How'd you get it finished and the publishing process and stuff? But let's skip that because we got to talk just a little bit about what's coming up on book. Book Starts.
Book Starts.
Which is your almost brand new. You've had two. We've got two shows under the belt. They're coming up on episode number 3 on March the 28th, I think.
That's right.
What do we have coming up?
Well, Book Starts, if you haven't tuned in, I hope you will. It's a show that's using local actors to perform the beginnings of books or the starts of books so that you can get an idea whether you want to read the rest of the story. And it's been a great opportunity for our friends in the local acting community. And we've got coming up, we are featuring an author named Ron McClarty. Ron is a fairly, he's one of those actors that when you see his face, you go, it's that guy. But he's not a famous name, but he's was a staple in the 80s and 90s on a lot of TV shows. And he was one of the private eye sidekicks in one of the shows back in the 80s as well. And he's a very fine writer. He's a best-selling author now. We're going to feature two of his books. The first one coming up in March is called The Memory of Running. And it's kind of a life discovery story. And the character in that book was a running, very slender, very fit kid, and suddenly finds himself in his early 30s weighing an enormous amount. And he loses his parents and has a startling discovery that he just needs to get his life on track. So one day he begins running and just keeps running. So it's got a lot of comedy. It's got a lot of serious kinds of things, the kinds of things that we all think about and face as we get older and our parents grow older and you realize that there's some mortality going on. So I think people would enjoy that book a lot. And then we will also have his book called The Traveler coming up sometime within the next couple of months. We're still scheduling the future stuff. But if you want to, it's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, the 20th this month. It's the what? 28th?
The 4th Tuesday.
Yes.
Of March and every month. Alternating, switching out with either the appetizer or a local musician will come in on and join Susie for Between the Notes. Mm-hmm. That's Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. Not to miss that upcoming the March 28th Book Starts. Who's in this one? Any local actors? Oh. Was this the one I saw a recording process going on? There were quite a few people in
yes.
and out.
Yes, we recorded it up here in the studio, and I think we had 12 or 14 people involved. They all read more than one character. It's when you start taking books apart and doing the first 20 to 30 pages, it's amazing how many characters can be introduced in that little time to get set up. So, there's just a host of people that are in it that you may not recognize their names, but if you go to local plays, you will know them and some new folks as well. And, It's been a lot of fun. Most people haven't done the recording microphone in your face experience, and that's different. Talking into a mic is one of those things that turns up the volume and the heat quite a bit.
Yeah, indeed it does. Yeah, we learned that. We learned that here at KRFY. The book On Death and Flying is your first novel, and do we see novel number 2 come anytime soon?
Yes. Soon is a relative term.
Right.
But it's underway. I'd say it's 60% done.
Wow.
I've stalled out a little bit this winter with work and other things, and I need to get that cranked up again. This is born of an idea that my partner Danya had while camping up on the St. Joe a few years ago. I'm excited about it. It's I learned a lot, and I had a tremendous amount of fun writing on Death and Flying, and I want to apply some of those learnings. And there's a tendency for men to not write as about emotion as much as, say, women writers. I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but I'm trying to open up that expanse so that the character development and the emotion comes through maybe a little bit more in this book. And this story will lend itself more to that, I think. So that's my growth curve for this one.
All right. Well, that's book number two, but book number one is on the shelves right now. It's called On Death and Flying. The author is Tim Martin. And anything more you want to say about that? Where can we get it again?
You can buy it locally at Vanderfort's. You can buy it online on Amazon. And I need to get down to the library with a couple of copies, too. I haven't done that yet.
But, yeah.
You will think about the town. If you live here, it'll be interesting to get the feedback on what you're thinking about the location.
Yeah. Well, my feedback is, like, so far it's dead on for me, or, you know, everything so far, nothing's ringing false. It's all kind of very, it's comfortably familiar.
Oh, thanks.
Or anyway, the good parts of it are anyway. but there is some subject matter in there that's fortunately not familiar to me. And Vanderford's they always have some nice local.
They provide
some shelf space for the local authors. They do a good job down there.
They do. And they've been in business a long time, and they're real great. They're great folks.
Yeah. We have Running Down a Dream queued up, and I'll be back with some announcements of upcoming events after this. You've been listening to Tim Martin, author of On Death and Flying. Here's that song he was talking about in the excerpt a few moments ago.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. That was Tom Petty with Running Down a Dream, which figures prominently in Tim Martin's there's a little bonus content on the end of Tom Petty's Running Down a Dream, it sounds like. Anyway, figures prominently in On Death and Flying by Tim Martin, who is still with us in the studio, who had an answer to the question that came over the hotline, which was, do you have any superstitions about writing, any lucky pens or lucky underwear or rituals? And the answer is no. The answer is a simple no. There are no such superstitions for author Tim Martin. Before I get into briefly the upcoming events, I want to say thank you on behalf of KRFY for a wonderful event last night. The Ides of March brought our annual Have a Brew and Meet the Crew event down at the Idaho Poor Authority. Big thank you to John and Vicky and all the staff who were on hand last night putting up with these radio folks, and all of the listeners who came out to say hello and participate in that raffle. It was a nice little fundraiser for us, and a fun time was had by all. And a special thanks to Doug and Marty and Doug, who provided the music. And Caleb from the Grand Teton Brewing Company down in Coeur d'Alene. That was last night, so that's not an upcoming event. I'm afraid you've missed it, but we had a good time, and thank you. Coming up this weekend, we do have a few events. I'm running awfully short on time, but I'll mention that tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. There is a benefit, including or there's a benefit for 24 hours for Hank down at the 219 Lounge on First Avenue. That famous Marty and Doug from last night will be there on St. Patrick's Day, Friday night, tomorrow night. There will be Irish cocktails, green beer, complimentary Irish appetizers, raffles, prizes, and more. All goes to benefit 24 hours for Hank. That's their St. Patrick's Day benefit fundraiser at the 219 for ages 21 and older only. Also coming up this weekend, there is tonight, the Thursday Night Solo series continues at McDuff's Beer Hall with Kevin Doran. He is one of the most original voices you may ever hear. Kevin Doran sounds like no one but Kevin Doran, says everyone, and that includes your grandmother. That's the official review from McDuff's Beer Hall. Once Upon a Mattress continues. We had those some of the cast and crew here in the morning show a couple weeks ago, and Growing Dreams Productions has all accounts are that they have put together quite a show. Once Upon a Mattress shows at 7 o'clock p.m. plus a 2 p.m. matinee March 18th. That is tonight, the 16th, as well as going on, continuing through the 18th. This is your last chance to check it out. Go to the Growing Dreams Facebook page or call 267-1325 for more information. There is the POAC 100 member celebration at Columbia Bank is on the 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day again. There is a family night at First Presbyterian Church for St. Patrick's Day. This one you don't have to be 21 and older to show up to. And there's lots more coming along, including a Bridges Home Celtic concert up in Bonner's Ferry to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But we have no time to talk about any of that. The morning show is over. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. Here we go with Bird Note.